Later on, Lord Brahma, he was there when Lord Nrsimhadeva appeared. If you remember, Nrsimha Bhagavan was so ferocious. He was causing fear throughout the universe. So the demigods approached Brahma, please do something to pacify the Lord. Brahma said, I cannot approach this form of Krishna. Even Lakshmi could not approach this form of Krishna. She did not recognize her husband in this mood of Ugra Narsingha. So Brahma approached Prahlad. You, please, you pacify the Lord. So Prahlad Maharaj came before the Lord and bowed down. And the Lord, just upon seeing Prahlad, became very, very peaceful. So Brahma went to the ocean of milk. And he prayed to the Supreme Lord Vishnu that I want to have the darshan of this beautiful form of Nrsimhadev that appeared to protect Prahlad. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead explained that the most famous temple of this Nrsimha avatar in all the world is in Singhachalam. You go there and worship this deity and all of your desires will be fulfilled. So Brahma, Shiva, and so many of the other demigods, they all came to Singhachalam to worship this form of Varaha Nrsimha. Later on, this temple was neglected in course of time. No one came here. Gradually, the temple fell down. The deity, out of utter neglect, bushes started growing over him. And years later, ants created an anthill. Just right here is an anthill. I would say within an area of about 1 foot, 1 square foot, there's probably 100,000 ants. And somehow or other, they're working together in great unity. We don't hear them complaining. And yet we think it's very crowded. There's 500 devotees. And how much space we have. Much space, hundreds and thousands of them. Because they made a nice little hill. So these particular ants in the age of Satyayuga, they made an anthill that covered the deity. And the deity was very happy because the anthill was protecting him from the wind, the rain, and the cold. In the next yuga, Treta Yuga, the great king that we read about in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, whose name was Pururava, he was on a vimana, or a celestial airplane, along with his girlfriend, Urvasi. And they flew overhead here. And there are different versions to the story. His Grace Rohini Priya Prabhu had a very extensive discussion with the pujaris here, who narrated the Mahatmyam, or the story of this particular temple. So what they explained is that the Supreme Lord was really disgusted seeing Pururava running around with Urvasi. Something like that? Because King Pururava was a descendant of great, great royalty of Vaishnavas. So He appeared as a boar and interrupted Pururava's situation. Pururava chased after him. Anyways, he sobered up Pururava, and later on he appeared in a dream to King Pururava and explained to him that in his form of Varaha Narsingha, he is in this forest on this mountain. And he wanted to find him. So the king was searching everywhere, but he could not find him. Then the Lord again appeared to him in a dream and revealed exactly where he was. So King Pururava, he rediscovered this deity of Varaha Narasimha in this place. And he got 1,000 kailashes or vessels of water from a nearby river called Gangadhar. It is said that the Ganga, when she saw that Lord Narasimhadev was living here, she appeared here just to render service to him. So he performed a grand Abhishek ceremony. But the Lord informed King Pururava that you have not rendered the same quality of service as the ants. The ant made this anthill for me to protect me. The Lord was still in a very angry mood, and that anger created tremendous heat. He told him, I want you to cover my body with chandan. He told him exactly how to do it. And according to that instruction, to this very day, the deity is worshipped in that way. The body of the deity is covered with 480 kilograms of chandan by the end of the year. One day a year, the Lord instructed that he will give his darshan without the chandan covering his body. That is on Akshaya Tritiya. On that day, which is around the same time as Chandan Yatra, the deity is uncovered, and from morning till night, tens and thousands of pilgrims come to see the deity. By the next day dawn, they have to cover his body again. They put 120 kilograms of chandan over his body. Then on the Vaishaka Purnama, they put another 120 kilograms of chandan over his body. Again on Jyeshta Purnama, the next month, they put 120 kilograms of chandan. And then on Ashad Purnima, they put another 120 kilograms of chandan. So if you come here after Ashad Purnima, you will see the Lord with 480 pounds of chandan covering his body. And it remains like that until the next time when they Akshaya Tritiya, when they uncover him. Great acharyas have come here throughout the centuries and worshiped this place. And they have revealed to us many of the secret inner truths. At the time of Prahlad Maharaj, a murti of Mahalakshmi, her name is Singhavali Tayaru, she is Sri Devi herself. She was installed, and she is considered to be the mother of all the devotees. And Nrsimhadev is considered to be the father. And because the father is in such an angry mood that only the mother can make him cool, so devotees worship Mahalakshmi. She is just over on this side, facing toward Jiyad Narasingha. And on the other side of the temple is the deity of Goda Devi. She was installed around the same time as Madhvacharya. And she is the Bhudevi expansion of the Goddess of Fortune. The Vijayamurti within the temple is known by the name of Govindaraj Swami. He is brought on this beautiful platform once a year for a ceremony. He's brought on palanquin procession on a regular basis. And there is a pillar just in the front of the temple. You saw it. It was very beautifully decorated. It is called Kapa Stamba. The foundation stone laid by King Pururava when he re-erected a temple here was put at that very place. And it is said that great rishis, they put special potency within that pillar which can fulfill the devotee's sincere desires. And according to the tradition of the area, couples who do not have babies come there and embrace the pillar to pray to the Lord to have children. Hare Krishna. This is what Rohini Priya Prabhu enlightened me with today. In the Sri Chaitanya Mangal by Lochan Das Thakur, as well as the Sri Chaitanya Charita by Sri Murari Gupta, there is the story of how this deity got its name, Jiyad Narasingha. Are you still awake enough to hear this story? There was a very strong devotee, physically strong, who was also a farmer in this area. His name was Pundraya. And he had a field where he grew many crops. And at night, he used to guard the crops from being disturbed by various wild animals. One day, or one night, a boar appeared and started just creating great disturbance, made the ground all uneven by plowing the ground with his tusks, and were eating many of his crops. So he became very much disturbed. He started chasing after the boar. And then he took a bow and arrow and shot an arrow into the boar. Immediately the boar started loudly calling out the holy names of Lord Rama and ran into a cave. Pundraya was thinking that what kind of boar chants the names of Ram? This is not an ordinary boar. In fact, this must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead who has appeared as a boar to give me darshan, and I shot him with my arrow. So he ran to the cave. He couldn't get in. But he was calling out, "Who are you? Who are you? Please tell me, who are you? I am such a sinful person. I am so fallen and cruel that I have shot you with my arrow. Please tell me who you are." The boar said, "I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But I am not hurt by your arrow. So don't worry about it. Just go home." But the farmer, he was so much feeling himself to have offended the Lord, that he was crying. His heart was full of sorrow and repentance. He fasted for 2 full days and for 2 full nights. The Lord again spoke to him from the cave and said, just go home, it's not a problem. And the farmer said, I will suffer throughout my life for what I have done to you, my Lord. And even suicide will not help me, because then I will have to face Yamaraj for my offense. The Lord said, no, I forgive you. What benediction do you desire? He said, if you really forgive me, I want to see you. Let me go and bring the king, and we will both come to see you. So the Lord said, yes, go and bring the king and come back to the cave. So Kundraya went to the palace of the king. He told one of the gatekeepers, I have a very auspicious story to tell the king. This king was a great devotee. He was willing to have a personal interview, even with a simple farmer. The farmer told him the story. The king said, oh, I believe what you say. I'll go to the cave. Let us go see the Lord. I always wanted to see God. So they came to the cave, and the king, with great humility, offered his prostrated obeisances at the door of the cave. The Lord, seeing how humble and devoted the king was, he spoke, what benediction can I give you? The king said, I want to see you and I want to serve you. The Lord said, sprinkle water on the floor of this cave and keep sprinkling it. So the king and the farmer began to sprinkle water on the floor of the cave. And out from, as the milk was sprinkled, not water, milk, as the milk was being sprinkled, the Lord started coming out of the ground. First the top of his head, then his head, then his neck, then his shoulders, his chest, his arms, his waist, his legs. And he manifested once again this beautiful form of Varaha Nrisimha. This was another time, and again a temple was constructed, and one very wealthy merchant came with 2 ladies to visit the temple, and he was such a very, very great devotee that the Lord said, I want to give you a benediction. What benediction can I give you? And the merchant said, the only thing I desire is that you name yourself after me. My mother gave me the name Jiyad, so you should be named Jiyad Nrisimha. So the Lord said, so be it. And he accepted the name Jiyad Nrisimha to this very day. What does this represent? How the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always subordinate to the will of his pure devotees. How the Lord, even the conqueror of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, is conquered by the love of his devotee. Krishna's name is Devaki Nandan, Yashoda Nandan, Nanda Nandan, Radharaman. He loves to be remembered in his relation with his devotees. One of the great names of Lord Chaitanya is Vasudevamrita Prada, because he delivered his devotee Vasudev from his leprosy and gave him such pure devotion at Kurukshetra. So we have come here together today to worship Jiyad Nrsimha, who is very ferocious to the demons, but who is conquered and subordinate to the love of his devotee. When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited this holy place, he danced, he chanted. The whole town around came to the top of this mountain to sing and dance in the beautiful association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by his causeless mercy and the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have all come here today to follow in Lord Chaitanya's footsteps, to chant and to dance and to hear the glories of the Lord in this holy, holy place. In 1930, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur visited here on a pilgrimage with several of his devotees. And at that time, he installed the footprints of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here to commemorate the Lord's visit. In 1972, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada also came to Singhachalam with several of his devotees. Srila Prabhupada had darshan of Jiyad Nrsimha. He prayed at the lotus feet of Lord Nrsimhadev. We can assume he prayed for the protection of all of his devotees, for all generations to come, protection to his Guru Maharaj's transcendental mission. In fact, when the story was told to Srila Prabhupada, how the Lord is so angry due to the offenses of his devotees, that he has to be covered with 480 kgs of sandalwood, chandan, at all times. Srila Prabhupada commented that, yes, the Lord likes to be cool-headed. Sometimes, as a offering of affection, we put chandan on someone's head to keep their head cool. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So in this very, very special place, at this special time, same time of the year Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here, let us pray to Lord Narasimhadev to kindly remove the obstacles of lust, envy, anger, pride, greed, and illusion from our hearts. It is not the external circumstances of this world that can block our progress in Krishna consciousness. But it is lust, envy, anger, pride, greed, and illusion. The circumstances of this world, the only way they can harm us is if they somehow or other aggravate and strengthen these anarthas within our heart. So let us pray to Lord Varaha Nrsimha to remove these obstacles, because that is our only hope, not only from our own lives, but to remove the obstacles from our God brothers, our God sisters, from all Vaishnavas, and ultimately from all living beings, so that everyone can make real progress back home, back to Godhead, and offenselessly chant the holy names of the Lord. Krishna appears in his name, in his devotees, in the form of his deities. He appears in the form of prasad, mahaprasad. I can hear some of you praying that, dear Nrsingadev, please remove this obstacle of this crazy Swami speaking so long and impeding me from seeing your beautiful form of Mahaprasad. So Krishna has fulfilled your prayer. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki Shri Jiyada Narasingadev ki Shri Gauraha Narasingadev ki Simhachalam Kshetra ki Gopivanandi.
Namaste Narasingaya. Tato Narsinga,
Tato Yami, Tato Narsinga,
Bahi Narsinga, Rudare Narsinga,
Bahi Narsinga, Bahi Narsinga,
Bahi Narsinga, Rudare Narsinga,
Bahi Narsinga, Rudare Narsinga,
Narsinga, Madim Sharanam Prapade.
Narasingha Madim Sharanam Prapade.
Tavakara Kamalavare Nakam Adruta Singha Dalita Hiranyakashipu Tanubringa Keshava
Thank you.
On June 4, 1999, the third day of the Yatra, devotees came to Kavur. At this place, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj spoke elaborately on the discussion between Ramananda Rai and Lord Chaitanya.
To first offer my most helpless obeisances at the lotus feet, my beloved Guru Maharaj, who has so mercifully and causelessly given me shelter at his lotus feet, his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I'd like to offer my unlimited obeisances again and again to my beloved Param Guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, who has established so gloriously the mission of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the world, and to all the great acharyas. I'd like to next place my head at the sacred feet of all the assembled Vaishnavas, who out of great kindness and sincere desire for devotional service, assembled here this evening in this glorious holy place of Vidyanagar. Today, this particular tract of land, which is so splendidly decorating the banks of the holy river Godavari, is called upon by the name Kavur. It is here that one of the most worshipable pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
was manifested.
Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has written Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita with the blessings of all Vaishnavas and the Supreme Lord Himself. In fact, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu personally manifested His divine pastimes and teachings through the writings of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He explained that he did not know what he was doing or how he was doing it. But like a puppet, the Supreme Lord was moving His hands and manifesting His own nature through this great Vaishnava's heart. For what purpose? To illuminate the hearts of all fortunate souls throughout the world. In the Madhya Lila, chapter 8, it is described the most sacred meeting of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Srila Ramananda Rai. The content of this particular dialogue is the sum and substance of all transcendental knowledge. Through these teachings, which we are about to summarize today, we find the supreme nature of the Siddhanta, which was brought to this world by the Supreme Personality of God. There are many religious systems. All authorized religious systems are inaugurated by God Himself. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranita. However, we should understand that according to time, place, circumstance, and the capacity of the people in a particular area, the Lord reveals different quantitative and qualitative manifestations of religious principles. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is declared by Srila Rupa Goswami to be the most munificent and merciful of all incarnations because He is giving what no other incarnation has ever gone. Pure love of Krishna in the sweet mood of conjugal love as the damsels of Braj Bhumi perform their devotional service to everyone and anyone who simply accept His mercy and chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
To the ordinary people, and even to great scholars, Lord Chaitanya discussed Bhagavad Gita, Vedanta, and encouraged everyone to just chant Harinam Sankirtan. As far as discussing the highest topics of the activities of Madhurya Rasa Vrindavan, that was only done with a few confidential associates headed by Srila Ramananda Rai. But in this particular chapter, Lord Chaitanya, through Ramananda Rai, wanted to give everyone a glimpse of what the future of a Gaudiya Vaishnava could be if they humbly and sincerely remain fixed in the service of Sri Guru and Gauranga. We should know that these pastimes are eternal. On the banks of this most beautiful holy river Godavari, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is eternally sitting with Srila Ramananda Rai discussing these most sublime subjects. By Srila Prabhupada's very special mercy, we have all come here today. One of my secret wishes for many years was to bring all of you here to Kavur to worship the dust of this holy place. It is such a sacred place that there's two Gaudiya Mathas right across the street from each other here. Srila Prabhupada came here. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur came here. So many of our great acharyas. But because it is somewhat far from the principal holy places, Navadvip, Puri, and Vrindavan, it is very rare that Vaishnavas come here. Although in spiritual significance, it is actually none different than Vrindavan. Because here Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Rai revealed Vrindavan in the most wonderful way. To hear this transcendental narration in this place will bring about an unlimitedly fortunate blessing to all of us. The power of hearing the glories of the Lord in the very place in which his activities took place has special potency and a very special blessing. I know it is very hot. It is the summer season. There is not many clouds in the sky. However, Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Rai, they sat here at this very same time of the year. So, by Krishna's mercy, we're getting the special effect of how it really was. Of course, we are not necessarily transcendental to heat and cold, as Ramananda Rai and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were. And the fact that we're not is the fact that we can't go so deep into these subject matters. If you can sit in the heat of the sun like this in complete enthusiasm to hear and chant without even remembering that you're this body, then you are qualified to enter deeply into the conjugal love affairs of Radha and Krishna. But as long as we have the bodily conception of life, we have to proceed very cautiously and hear it with an aspiration to someday qualify ourselves, and by rendering very, very sincere service and performing our sadhana of chanting our rounds, reading Gita, and preaching the glories of the Lord to others, serving Guru and Vaishnavas, gradually Krishna will be pleased upon us and actually give us that transcendental condition of consciousness by which we are qualified to enter deeply into the divine lila of Vrindavan. So as we are hearing today on the bank of the holy river Godavari, this most illustrious dialogue, we should be praying that we can shed altogether all of these attachments to the bodily conception of life. Matra sparashastu konteya sitos na sukadukata agamapayano nityastam statikshasvabharata. The non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor, dishonor, birth and death, they come like the appearance of the winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception of sky and of Bharat. And one must learn to tolerate them, to tolerate them without being disturbed. The brahmacharis, when we were discussing where to go for the yatra in Nasik, we were discussing where the next yatra, they all wanted to go to Badrinath. The grihasthas, they wanted to go to South India. In Badrinath, it's very, very cold. In South India, it's very, very hot. Of course, in Badrinath now, there was recently an earthquake. And also, there may be different fighter jets flying overhead on their way to Kashmir. So in this world, anything you do, there will be some inconvenience. In Badrinath, no doubt, Nara Narayan Rishi are speaking transcendental knowledge to Narada Muni and others, which is supremely glorious. And Vedavyas is writing the Vedic scriptures. And here at Kavur, the essence of all the Vedic scriptures is spoken by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself through the mouth of his own devotee, Ramananda Rai. The Astras are victorious. And the Brahmacharis are very happy to be here in banks of holy Godavari. After Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, before I begin, please be in rapt attention. I know you're tired, long bus ride, and it's very hot, but it may be the only time in your entire life that you're here to hear this narration. So somehow or other, with whatever energy you have in your life force, wake up and hear attentively. Sit with your backs straight. Yesterday we were at the Jiyad Nrisingha Mandir in Singhachalam. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after worshipping Lord Narasingha Dev, he traveled in the same way as always, dancing and chanting down the roads throughout the day and night, inducing everyone he would meet to chant Hare Krishna. As soon as they would chant, he would be so happy, he would embrace them and invest his own Shakti of love of God within their hearts, and then sent them home to preach. For some days he traveled, dancing and chanting. Then he came to the holy bank of the river Godavari. Upon seeing the Godavari River, he remembered the Jamuna River. Upon seeing the forests along the banks of Godavari, he remembered the forests of Vrindavan. There he chanted and danced, as he always did. He crossed over the river to this very place where we are today. He took his bath. Then he sat a little distance from the river in a secluded place and chanted the holy name, waiting. Moments later, there was a procession of over 1,000 people. There was musical instruments being played. Hundreds of Brahmins chanting mantras and performing various Vedic rituals. Amidst that wonderful celebration, in the center of it all, there was a beautifully decorated palanquin. Riding on the palanquin was the governor of Madras, Srila Ramananda Rai. He came off of his palanquin to take his ceremonial bath in the river Godavari. As the Brahmins were chanting their mantras, Ramananda Rai performed the proper Vedic rituals in the river, offered oblations to his forefather, then came out. Meanwhile, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Ramananda Rai. In his mind, he was running to embrace him. But somehow or other, he remained sitting. When Srila Ramananda Rai saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saw that his effulgence was as bright as 100 suns. He came to the Lord and offered his prostrated obeisances just like a stick underground. Lord Chaitanya told him, "Get up and chant the holy names of Krishna." "Are you Ramananda Rai?" Ramananda Rai replied, "Yes, I am your very low servant. I am from the Sudra community." Please note, this is the nature of a great personality. An ordinary man wants himself to be introduced as something very special and great. Actually, Ramananda Rai was on the highest level of pure devotional service. He was in a very high, prestigious position of government, thousands of people worshiping him, riding on a palanquin. This was his duty, but in his heart he was revealing himself. "I am your very low servant coming from the Sudra community." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then embraced him. As they embraced, they fell into a trance of ecstatic love. They practically fell unconscious. Tears were pouring from their eyes. Their complexion were becoming pale. Paralysis. Trembling, shivering. From their mouths, with choked voices, they were continuously saying, "Krishna, Krishna, Krishna." This was the intimate reunion of Sri Krishna and Vishakha Gopi. As we know, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And one of the most dear associates of Srimati Radharani is Vishakha Sakhi. In this particular incarnation, this was the first moment in which they met together. What was the intimacy of the ecstatic love they shared between each other? We will never know, but we can hear it and try to become purified through this process. As they embrace, they were exhibiting such ecstatic symptoms of love, they would fall down and become unconscious, then again become conscious and exhibit all kinds of different transformations of divine love. The Brahmins, who were ritualistic by nature, they were struck with wonder. They were thinking in their minds, "This sannyasi, who is effulgent like the impersonal Brahman, why is he exhibiting such happiness by embracing a sudra?" And Ramananda Rai, he's a Mahapandit. He's a great scholar. He's a big, big government officer. He's a very grave and sober personality. Why he has become completely mad, lost all composure, embracing a sannyasi? They could not understand. Lord Chaitanya Ramananda Rai noticing that these Brahmins assembled were not able to comprehend the level of their spirituality, they somehow or other forcibly restrained their ecstatic feelings and became sober. The Prabhupada explains that sahajiyas, they like to imitate ecstatic symptoms in front of ordinary people just to get followers and money. However, great personalities, even if they have ecstatic love of God, they will restrain themselves from manifesting it before anyone who cannot understand what it really represents. Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Rai composed themselves and sat down. Lord Chaitanya first spoke. He said that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has spoken of your qualities, and he has made a great endeavor to convince me to meet with you. Indeed, I have come here to meet you, and it is with very good fortune that it has happened so easily. Srila Ramananda Rai replied that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has indeed accepted me as his servant. And therefore, he is very, very merciful to me to send you here to deliver me. Even in my absence, he is thinking about my well-being. I can understand that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has truly received your special mercy. How is that? Because you have touched me, although I am untouchable. Due to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's love for you, you have shown me this mercy. Ramananda Rai is revealing a very essential aspect of Vaishnava thought. That it is due to a great devotee's love for God and their good wishes toward you that you can receive the mercy of the Supreme Personality of God. When Srila Prabhupada was asked, what was our qualification to receive the highest consciousness of Krishna consciousness, at least the opportunity to attain it? Srila Prabhupada told us, you have no qualifications. I made your qualification. What does that mean? Because of his surrender to Krishna and his good wishes to our fallen selves, Krishna is giving his mercy to us. That is the process of Krishna consciousness. To somehow or other get the mercy of a Vaishnava. And anyone who thinks that they can approach Krishna directly is very unfortunate. Because it is impossible. But when we get the favor of those who have surrendered their lives to Krishna, then Krishna will naturally shower his blessings and give us every opportunity to perfect our lives. But then, after getting this fortune, which may take millions and millions of births, we have the free will what we will do with this opportunity. Will we accept it for some time and then reject it? Or will we cherish it and treasure it for our whole lives? Krishna consciousness is a lifetime process. If somehow or other, before the moment of death, we can one time chant the holy name of the Lord purely, without offense, we have achieved the ultimate goal of life. But Krishna doesn't give that fortune so easily. Relatively, in this age of Kali, by the mercy of Lord Gauranga, he does give it easily.
But what's easy is very difficult for us. Treta Yuga, you would have to fast in complete celibacy, concentrating your mind on one particular object, the super soul in your heart, for 60,000 years with unwavering mind for you to get love of God. How many of us could do that? So comparatively, following the four regulative principles, chanting 16 rounds, humbly serving Vaishnavas, not committing offenses, trying to sincerely do our service, in this short lifespan of maybe 50, 60, 70 years at the most, maybe 80, 90, if we can get that one mantra out of our mouths purely, and we perfect our lives. So easy. But the tendency in this age of Kali Yuga is Maya is always trying to drag our consciousness away from Krishna. From whenever and wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, we must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. So Krishna consciousness is a constant battle. But somehow or other, if we just don't offend Vaishnavas and stay in the association of devotees and keep trying honestly, earnestly, sincerely, Krishna will save us. However fallen and difficult it may be, and we are. So Srila Ramananda Rai, he gave all credit for his mercy to Sarvabhauma Bhagavan. He explained to Lord Chaitanya that you are the Supreme Personality of God. You are Narayan himself. And I am just a lowly, fallen, sinful government servant from the Sudra class, the lowest of all castes. But yet, you have touched me. You have embraced me. You have broken all the Vedic injunctions. You have touched an untouchable. Therefore, I can understand that you must be the Supreme Lord and your mercy is supreme. Great souls like yourself. You go to the homes of householders for no other reason but to purify the minds of those fallen householders. You are so kind, my Lord, that you have come all this way to this place just to deliver me. Not only me, but look at these thousands of associates of mine, headed by these Brahmins. You have miraculously melted all of their hearts. I can hear only the holy name of Krishna being chanted through their mouths.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Their bodies are thrilled with ecstasy and their eyes are full of tears. Thus I can understand, my dear sir, through your bodily features and the characteristics of your mercy, that you are none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, sir, you are the best of topmost devotees. Therefore, just by seeing you, all of these people's hearts have melted. Although I am a Mayavadi sannyasi and a non-devotee, even I am floating in the ocean of love of Krishna due to being touched by you. But to speak of others, knowing this, in order to rectify my heart, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has sent me here just to hear Krishna Katha. In this way, they each praised one another with great love, and that both of them were so very pleased at tasting the nectar of the glorious qualities of the other. At that time, a Brahmin came and invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home. Lord Chaitanya turned to Ramananda Rai and smiled. He told him that I wish to hear from you about Lord Krishna. My mind is inclined to desire this. Therefore, I wish to see you again. Ramananda Rai replied that although you have come here just to correct me, who am a fallen soul, my mind is not yet purified by seeing you and touching you. Therefore, I pray that you please stay here at least 5 to 7 days to try to deliver me. So it was arranged that they would meet at this very same place that very evening. Just close to here is footprints that were installed by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. They are footprints of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To commemorate the discussions of Ramananda Rai and Lord Chaitanya in this area. That evening, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after taking his bath, he was chanting and waiting very impatiently for Srila Ramananda Rai to come. When he came, Ramananda Rai bowed down and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then asked Ramananda Rai a question. He told him, please recite from the revealed scriptures particular verses which describe the ultimate goal of life. Srila Ramananda Rai replied, if one performs his prescribed duties according to his social position, a varnashram dharma, then one will awaken his original Krishna consciousness. He quoted a sloka from the Vishnu Purana. Varnashrama chararvata purushena para puman Vishnur aradyate panta nanyata toshakaranam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, is worshipped by the proper execution of prescribed duties in the system of varna and ashram. There is no other way to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One must be situated in the institution of the four varnas. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, upon hearing this, he said, that is external. Please tell me, there must be something better than that. Ramananda Rai spoke that to offer the results of one's activities for the satisfaction of Krishna, that is the essence of perfection. Yat karosi rashnasi yaj johoshi tatasi yat yat tapasyasi konte yat tat kurushama darapanam. All that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, all austerities and penances you perform, everything should be done as an offering to me, Krishna explained. You see, the principle of Varnashram Dharma is basically activities within the modes of material nature to gradually elevate one to transcendental consciousness. But the difference between ordinary Varnashram Dharma and Daivi Varnashram Dharma is when everything you do
according to your occupational nature, is for the pleasure of Krishna as an offering to Krishna. So this was clarified by the grace of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But because he wanted to elevate the conversation to the ultimate understanding of Krishna consciousness, he told Ramananda Rai, that is external. Please tell me something more. Ramananda Rai said, to give up all vanas and ashrams, to give up all occupational duties, and to just surrender to Krishna, that is the essence of perfection. Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masujaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. This is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, goes so far beyond even the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. Lord Chaitanya said, go ahead, say more. Ramananda Rai said that devotional service mixed with empiric knowledge is the highest perfection of life. Rama bhuta prasanatma nasochati nakankshati samasaraveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labate param. When one is thus situated in such transcendental consciousness, he at once realizes the Supreme Brahman. He neither laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed toward all living entities. In that state of consciousness, he attains pure devotional service unto me. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected this. This is external. Please tell me something more. Pure devotional service, when it is mixed with empirical knowledge, when it is mixed with the conception of liberation, it is not pure. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted him to go higher. From the point of view of pure devotional service, even such type of devotional service, where there is still the lower conceptions of mukti or liberation, it is considered still materially contaminated. Ramananda Rai replied, pure devotional service, which is unmixed by any empiric knowledge, that is the ultimate perfection of life. And then he quoted a beautiful sloka spoken by Lord Brahma, where he explains that those who reject liberation or mukti, those who reject the aishwarya or the opulences of devotional service of Vaikuntha, those who reject all material considerations, who reject all lesser forms of spirituality, and who surrender their body, mind, words, and life for the pleasure of Krishna and only Krishna, such a person who follows the regulative principles, who's constantly chanting of the holy name, that person conquers Krishna. Hare Krishna. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he said, that is all right. But still, I think you can speak something more. Ramananda Rai explained how
he quoted a verse which was later spoken by Srila Rupa Goswami, that unless one has hunger and thirst, one cannot enjoy eating prasad. How many of you have that experience? We're coming down to our level. Similarly, unless one is very eager for devotional service, one cannot enjoy love of Krishna. It is not by accumulating thousands and thousands and thousands of pious activities that we can get pure devotional service. It is not by any amount of austerities. There is only one price for pure devotional service, and that is the intense greed to attain it. And if one can purchase pure devotional service through that intense greed, one should immediately purchase it. One should be willing to give everything and anything for it, because it is the ultimate treasure of life. Lord Chaitanya said, "That is all right. But please, tell me something more." Ramananda Rai explained that spontaneous love of God, that the essence of love of God is spontaneous devotion. And spontaneous devotion in the sweet mood of pure servitude is the highest perfection of life. He explained how by serving the Lord in the mood of a servant, Krishna is so pleased that he eradicates all material desires and suffering from the heart. That is the power of service to the Lord. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, "Please go further." Ramananda Rai declared that loving service in the mood of fraternity or friendly dealings with the Lord is the essence of all perfection. He explained how those who practice the path of self-realization, who understand the Supreme Brahman, those who understand the opulences of Vaikuntha, those who have even great mystic powers, what to speak of great wealth, none of them can understand the exalted position of these young cowherd boys who are playing with Krishna on the pasture grounds of Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased to hear this. He told Srila Ramananda Rai, "This is very good. Please tell me more." Ramananda Rai said, "Loving service in paternal affection is the highest perfection." He quoted a verse that who can understand the glories of Nanda Maharaj, who thinks Krishna to be his own son, and who can understand the glories of Yashoda Mai? Krishna thinks that she is his mother and accepts milk from her breast. Sometimes Krishna is carrying Nanda Maharaj's shoes on his head. Sometimes Yashoda Mai is tying up Krishna with a rope and he's crying, begging Yashoda, "I didn't steal the butter, honest, honest." And when he sees that Yashoda Mai does not believe him,
He says, actually, I did it. I did it. I plead guilty. Please be merciful to me. Please do not harm me. The Supreme Brahman, Queen Kunti, she was praying in this way. That although Krishna is feared by fear personified, he is afraid of a gopi, Yashoda, running, crying, begging for mercy. That is the power of the love of Mother Yashoda. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said to Ramananda Rai that your statements are getting better and better. But I think that there is one more essential mood of devotional service that is yet to come. Srila Ramananda Rai replied, conjugal attachment for Krishna is the topmost perfection of love of God. Then he described how the gopis of Vrindavan, during the Rasa-lila, they were embraced by the arms of Krishna while they were dancing with him. This fortune of being embraced during a dance with Krishna was never achieved even by the goddess of fortune, nor any of the other damsels of Vaikuntha. Such a fortune was never achieved by any of the beautiful heavenly damsels in the heavenly kingdoms, whose bodily aroma is like the scent of blue lotuses. What to speak of ordinary women of this world, who relatively speaking we think are very nice. This is the fortune of gopis. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased. Then Srila Ramananda Rai began to explain the comparative study of these basic rasas. That Shantaras, or pure love of God, when you add intimacy to that, it becomes Dasyaras, or love of God in the mood of service. Chitraka, Patraka, Raktaka. These are the three very, very prominent servants of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. And we read in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu the wonderful, wonderful ecstasies of loving service that they offer to Lord Krishna for Krishna's pleasure. In Santaras, there is the trees and the grass and the peacocks and cows and the birds that are singing, the river Jamuna. These are all activities in Santaras. Ramananda Rai explained, every ras, the particular person that is engaged in devotional service, is fully satisfied by that ras. However, still, if we examine it from a point of view of comparative study, we will see that each ras contains all the elements of and the qualities of the previous rasa. Santa ras lacks intimacy. When that intimacy is added, it becomes dasya ras, or love of God and servitude. Love of God and servitude lacks confidence. When you add confidence to Dasyaras, you enter into Sakyaras. What is that confidence? That you can just do anything with Krishna. A servant is very much afraid of doing something wrong. Please bring me water. I'm just a fallen servant, no doubt. But you ever want to see what fear is, look at Govinda sometimes.
Always afraid of doing something wrong. And that's just to a mudha like me. What to speak of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Hey. Always fearful of doing everything just right for the Master. But when you add complete confidence, then you have Vigopas. Vigopas, they're just jumping on Krishna and playing with Krishna. They consider Krishna completely an equal. We read about how Sridhama, he wrestles with Krishna and he wins. How do you win wrestling match with God? Janora and Mustika, they were the world champion wrestlers. Krishna smashed them to death. And here's little Sridhama, little Gopa, hardly 6-7 years old. And he's wrestling with Krishna. But this is love. Krishna is more pleased to accept defeat from the hands of his pure devotees than anything else. Krishna is conquered by bhakti. Cowherd boys are sitting on the banks of the river Jamuna. Here in Kavur, the Godavari is none different than the river Jamuna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established that fact when he was here. So when the cowherd boys were sitting on Jamuna with Krishna, Lord Brahma was watching. He couldn't believe what he was seeing. Understood that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then he sees the gopas, they're eating a ladu from their lunchbox. And it tastes so good that they take it right out of their mouth and say, Krishna, here, taste it. Krishna eats it right out of the gopa's mouth and eats it himself. And says, oh, this is very good. Each cowherd boy is taking food out of their mouths and giving it to Krishna, and Krishna's eating. Now in Brahma Loka, you don't do like that. Because it's a majestic place. He's a king. But he's just very subordinate to Vishnu, who's subordinate to Mahavishnu, who's subordinate to Narayan, and what to speak of the Adipurusha Krishna. But Krishna's playing with them and eating from their plates. And they're running, trying, who is the first to touch Krishna? And Krishna's running away from them. They're chasing after Krishna. And sometimes Krishna's hiding, and sometimes they're hiding, and sometimes they find him, and he sometimes finds them. And they play all different games with amalaki fruits, chasing each other and throwing balls. And keeping the lunchbox of one boy away from the other and laughing. The gopas, they imitate different parrots and monkeys just to please Krishna. And then Krishna, he moves his head just like a peacock. And they all start laughing. Well done, Krishna, well done. Most intimate, loving relationships. This is Sakya. Complete confidence. No conception ever that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Every day, just before lunch, Krishna would allow a demon to come. Because Krishna and the cowherd boys, they love to eat prasad. And we just explained, without hunger and thirst, you can't enjoy prasad. So the more hungry and thirsty you are, the more you enjoy prasad. So when demons would come, it was very exciting. And there would be the cowherd boys would be running and Krishna would be fighting. And by the time the demon was dead, they were very eager to eat prasad. So when the demons would come, Krishna, the gopas, they didn't pray to Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They would just pray to Krishna because he was just such a special personality. He could do anything. He could even kill these demons. But
then after he kills
demon like Keshi, Aristasura, Bakasura,
they were sitting on bank of Jamuna,
big duck comes and swallows Krishna.
Goes in his throat, and then he starts emanating his Brahman effulgence, which burns him, so he vomits Krishna up. See, Krishna's, his renunciation, of his supreme opulence of renunciation. How he comes out of this demon's mouth. And then he bifurcates his beak. And all the boys are saying, well done, Krishna, well done. But then the next day, not the next day, the next minute, they're thinking, Krishna, we will defeat you. This is the nature of their love.
So deep, so sweet, that all these great heroic deeds of Krishna, they would be forgotten, not forgotten, but they would be eclipsed by the sweetness of Krishna's love for them. But increased affection is lacking in Sakyaras. If we add increased affection to intimacy and confidence, then you get Vatsalyaras, parental.
Mother and Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj.
What was their affection?
Even in this material world, who can calculate or understand the love of a proper mother for her child? When a baby cries during Srimad Bhagavatam class, everyone thinks that baby is a total disturbance. But the mother's thinking, oh, my child, how nice is my child? At least that's what she's supposed to be thinking.